Amen. Good morning. All right, just one thing real quick before we get started here. The Bible says, beautiful are the feet of he who brings good news, and we're certainly preaching God's good news today, but I want to thank you for bearing with me. I have sandals on today. I have a sprained ankle, so if you're wondering why the pastor who's never before worn sandals or you don't care, good for you. They're not beautiful feet, brother, no, but... If you don't care, good for you. And if you wonder why, there you go. And if my having sandals on bothered you, what is your problem? So, all right. Today, if you are a guest or maybe haven't been here the last couple weeks, we are today in week three of a series, and we're just going to go for a while, and it's lessons from the Old Testament. Lessons from lives in the Old Testament that we can still learn a lot from today. Most of these men and women lived thousands and thousands of years ago, but their lives are very relevant and applicable to our lives here today. We have went over Elijah, and last week we went over Joshua, and today we're going to be talking about David, King David. Now, we could spend months on just David's life alone, couldn't we? We could, my goodness, he was a man after God's own heart. You think about the lessons of the fact that he was a wise, rich, successful man and king. God did great things with him and through him because he trusted God. He was an ancestor of Jesus. His faithfulness was very important. David lived about 3,000 years ago. He was a warrior, musician, poet. We could go over the lessons of David and Goliath, of with God all things are possible, and faith in God. We could talk about the fact that he wrote most of the Psalms. David was, of course, and I'm just giving a brief background here in case maybe you're not familiar, he was the second king of Israel. David, again, wrote most of the Psalms. There's the relationship that he had with Jonathan, who was Saul's son. Saul was the first king of Israel, but wasn't faithful, so God took that crown away, and there's a lesson there about our faithfulness as Christians. Jonathan was Saul's son, but yet had a great relationship with David. Not going to talk a lot about that, because we're going to talk about Jonathan in this series. His son, one of his children, David's son, was Solomon, who wrote Proverbs, who wrote several books in the Bible. His son was Solomon. So we could go on and on and on about King David's life, and we have preached and talked about and we study David's life, but I think the lesson that God wants for us to take, and there might be another week or two on King David in this series, but is how we deal with failure. That's the lesson from King David's life. And if you're here today and you are a believer and you are a Christian, we do not live in sin. We do not willfully sin, but we still can sin and fall short. And so if you think, I don't know what failure is, be very careful. Be very careful with that attitude, because we're going to learn from King David's life that thinking that way, and maybe our even sometimes our own prosperity, can be dangerous for our spiritual journeys and therefore those around us, okay? We're going to begin this story several years into King David's reign as king of Israel. If you have your Bibles, and now you remember in this series, or maybe if you haven't been here the last couple weeks, we've never done this before, we're doing homework. And I just ask as your pastor that you be respectful, and if I ask you to read a passage, please do it this week. 2 Samuel chapters 11 and 12 we're going to be in today, and please read them this week. Please take notes if you can today. We're going to be going over some good stuff, and you need to write down your homework, 2 Samuel 11 and 12. Several years into King David's reign, here we are. Things in Israel are good. Things are peaceful. The treasury is good. There's not a lot of war going on. The Bible says in 2 Samuel 8:15, it says... In 2 Samuel 8:15, it says that David reigned over all Israel and administered judgment and justice to all his people. He was a good king. Things were going well. Things were prospering in David's life. But if you've never heard this expression before, prosperity is good weather for the devil. Can be. I believe the enemy of our souls and of our churches and of us wants us too comfortable and even maybe too prosperous and too feeling great about ourselves, because that's where pride can seek in. And that's where I think sometimes as Christians, if we're not careful, as we go along in our spiritual lives, we get so in that that we don't even realize we're not fruitful for the kingdom. We're concerned about our spiritual journey. Listen, guys, I have to stay spiritually healthy, but my journey is not about me and yours is not about you. It's about the lost. It's about each other. It's about bringing God glory. And if we're not reaching lost people and loving and serving, giving grace and seeing fruitfulness, what are we doing here? He may as well take us to heaven. We need to be careful, because as the expression is, prosperity can be good weather for the devil. Often we're most at risk to fall or to become unfruitful or to have these issues when we forget our everyday utter dependence on the Lord, when we don't stay humble and broken. That's where we can be careful. And that's it's our human nature. And I believe in 2 Samuel 11, we see this happening in David's life. I believe that's what happened here. I believe that this is much more the story of Bathsheba. If you've been in church, you know it. Of course we're going to preach about it. I believe it's about much more than just betrayal or lust or adultery or murder. I think it's a story, and the number one lesson that we learn, we have two lessons today from King David's life, and there could be a lot more, but number one is to guard your heart. His son tells us that many years later in Proverbs 4:23. Doesn't Solomon say, guard your heart, because out of it springs all the issues of life. Christian, guard your heart. I believe David's heart grew temporarily hardened. I believe it grew kind of haughty. And I just got to ask you today, followers of Jesus, disciples, how's your heart? Is it full of love? Is it surrendered to the Lord? Is it merciful and graceful? Is it joyful? How's your heart? So if you've heard this story before, you're just going to go through it again with us here again this morning. If you have your Bibles again, we're going to start in 2 Samuel. We're going to start with verse 11. Chapter 11, verse 1, it says, and we're going to talk about David's temptation, but here in 2 Samuel 11:1, it says, it happened in the spring of the year, at the time when kings go out to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him. Wait a second. This is not the David we know and love. This is not the guy who killed Goliath. This is not the mighty warrior man of God. Time out. This is the time where kings go out to battle with their people. But David had begun to get comfortable and admired how he was spiritually, physically, all these things. I believe David began to feel good about himself. So instead of leading his men into battle, he said, you guys go take care of it. I'm going to stay home. That's not the David we know and love. The David that ran into war with Goliath, that said, who's this Philistine think he is? By God's hand, I'll take care of him. Is this the same David that wrote the music and the poetry and lived this purpose-driven life? But I think David was in a spiritual funk, which can happen to us if we're not careful. We've kind of hit that the first 2 weeks of this series. David should have been out there leading his people, but instead, I just believe he kind of got lazy. And there's a lesson for us there, guys. How's your spiritual house today? Where are you? How's your time in the Word and prayer, and how's your servant's heart? How's the fact that you got to give people grace because you've been given grace? You've got to forgive in order to be forgiven. You've got to be the light. How you doing there today? Because we're human and we have to be careful. And what happened here with David was, I believe he had just gotten spiritually lazy. So here David is, he's basking on his Thompson wood-treated deck. Got the grill going. Seriously. I mean, not literally, of course. But instead of leading his men into battle, he's like, I'm going to stay home. Probably taking a couple naps a day. Probably. I'm not being critical. David is God's man. I can relate a lot of my life to King David. He's God's man. But I believe he was vulnerable because he had just had too much success, and he began to just revel in that. So everybody's out to battle, and David's kind of setting home. And I think you and I, as we think about our spiritual lives, have to think about that today. That what comfort, what sin, what thing in life, if you're here this morning, you've never given your heart to Jesus, what is worth risking your eternity for? Nothing. What sin, what struggle, what thing? And it so easily happens to us if we're not careful. And I believe this happened to David here. Next verse. It said, then it happened one evening that he arose from his bed and walked. I mean, okay, let's think about it. It's evening and he's in bed. That's not a good sign. Farmers, people with jobs, everybody, right? If you're retired, I'll let you have a pass. You know, take a couple naps, whatever. But it's evening and David is in bed. Okay, so David rises out of bed, all right? He rises from his bed and he walked on the roof of his king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing, and the woman was very beautiful to look at. Okay, so far, no problem. Because being tempted isn't a sin. You're tempted, we're tempted almost daily, if not daily. Not maybe necessarily so explicitly like this, but there's just all kinds of temptations. To be disobedient, selfish, to gossip, to think a bad thought, to not do the right thing, to know to do good and not do it. I could go on all day. You come into church, you're tempted to think something about your pastor because he's got flip-flops on. You know, what are we turning into here at the Church of God? Just, we're tempted, okay? But that's not a sin. But what David becomes encountered with is, will I look or will I leave? And guys, you've got stuff in your life and I've got stuff in my life. It's the look or leave. For a lot of people, men and women both, but especially men, it's just this, look or leave. but there's stuff in your life that we get tempted with. Will I do things my way or God's way? I think when it comes to looking, think about what Job said, I make a covenant with my eyes that I won't look at a woman that way. What covenants are there in your life that you've said, you know what, I'm maybe it's a sin, an addiction, a thing, and you've overcome it, you've went back, you struggle with it. What covenant needs to maybe get put back into place? What covenant do you need to guard your heart about? What's worth risking your relationship with the Lord, your fruitfulness, your health, your marriage, your family, your job, your life, your eternity? What covenant is there? David's encounter with this temptation, and guys, so are we. If you think you're not, be careful. You're in a dangerous place. You're in a dangerous place. David looked too long. David was in a spot where he wasn't right with the Lord as he should have been, and this opened the door for this temptation to be given over to. And this can again apply to any area of our life. The Bible talks about temptation. There it tells us many times to flee from sin, and it takes a consistent walk with Jesus Christ, a renewing of our mind, a time in His Word. It takes faith. How's your heart this morning? It's something we need to look at. And when it comes to temptation, one of the things that helps there is having wisdom, is knowing ourselves. Because oftentimes we can avoid the temptation by avoiding certain things, places, people, whatever. And we need to be very careful there. And I can certainly relate to that. To know, I'm no different than you guys. I love the Lord. I am so thankful for His grace. He is my Lord and Savior, and I've got His Holy Spirit. But I'm not immune to temptation. I have to be careful, and so do you, and so do we. And David was in a spot where he was vulnerable because he had gotten spiritually lazy. His heart was temporarily hardened. I believe David, when he decided to go up to that rooftop, I firmly believe, and the Bible doesn't say this, I think he kind of knew what he might see. I think he knew his palace set up high and he would be able to see. And he knew that back then homes weren't air conditioned, so people lounged on their rooftops. He knew that people bathe and lounge. I mean, I got to think maybe he knew that. And maybe sometimes there's stuff in our lives or in your life where you kind of know. You just kind of know, and you've got to be careful. When you pray the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, do you mean it? Do you really mean that? I think we should. I think we should know. If you're on a diet, do you go eat at the Golden Corral? I hope not. Yes, I just get the salad bar. No, you don't. If you're on a diet, don't eat at the Golden Corral. If you're trying to get out of debt, stay away from the mall. If you've got temper issues, don't ever wallpaper anything or try to fix anything plumbing related. Just seriously, we have to be smart. We do. I do. You do. I have found I have to be careful. The Bible says to guard your heart. What does Psalm 119:11 say? It says, "Your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you." This should be the heart cry of every believer. I'm in God's word. I'm learning from it so that I cannot sin, so I can be a better follower of Jesus. But I believe David's the lesson for us that we need to be careful of. He's in a situation here where he was lukewarm, too comfortable, hardened by a little bit of self at this time, and temptation led to sin, led to adultery. And I think so often the human nature for us as believers is to ask ourselves the question, how much can I get away with and still be okay with God? How much do I really have to serve or obey or read the Bible or go to church? Where can I get, like, what's the limit? Because I just kind of want to maybe, you know, do me a little bit. And at the same time, we ask ourselves those questions, etc. And so I think the real question we should be asking ourselves instead of that is how can I better follow God and bring Him glory with my life? You remember the acceptable sin series we did? The Bible says unrighteousness will be judged. That's right. People who don't know Jesus, who live in sin, mean, bad people. But the Bible also says ungodliness will be judged, which is a danger for Christians of just living our everyday lives without a real God consciousness, to bring Him glory, to want to serve Him, to want to be like Jesus, which is humble and quiet and serve, I mean, to death. To be light to these people in our lives. And so we should not be asking ourselves, what can I get away with? How far can I go? This is my thorn. You know, all these kind of excuses we make. Guys, let me tell you, the reward of obeying God is always greater than the pleasure of yielding in to temptation. And it's safer. And it's better for us and for those around us. So you know what happens here. If you don't know the story, David sent for the woman. They committed adultery. It led to murder, to the death of, of her husband to the death of a baby, lots of consequences, and just we'll just talk about those for just 1 second. 2 Samuel 11:3. David, he's home. He's not where he should be. He should be out in battle with his men. Instead, he's doing what he wants. And so he then sees this woman in verse 11:3. It said, David sent and asked about the woman. And he said, is this not the wife of Uriah? So David sent for her, and they did what adultery is. Hope your kids are in junior church right now. She got pregnant. And so then David, and this is what happens so often when we get into sin, when we allow sin in our life. Instead of just repenting and I'm sorry, we just exacerbate it. It just goes. Sin is like just almost opening floodwaters. Now, not sin of, oh, what have I done? But as a Christian, willful living in sin. It just snowballs. And this is what happened here. So David says, what have I done? She's pregnant. He goes, I better cover this up. So he sends for her husband who's out at battle. Not what's best for God's people, for Israel. David's thinking about himself. Come home, and he's like, if I can get them to lay together, not a very PC term, if I can get them to lay together, then maybe he'll think that the baby is his and I won't be discovered. Well, that doesn't happen. Because he comes home and he's an honorable man and he won't do the wrong thing. And that's, we won't get into all those versions, whatever. So when that doesn't work, then what does David do? If you know the Bible, you know it. If you don't, he then sends him back out to battle and makes sure that he's killed in battle. He kind of almost, it's like a contract. King David wrote the Psalms. This guy, like, called out a hit on this guy's life. He did. And when we hear things like that and begin to think that we, even as God's people, are just above temptation and sin, it's dangerous. It's dangerous. He made sure that he got killed in battle. And when you and I don't die to ourselves every day, when we harden our heart, when we willfully let sin in, when we live lukewarm, we constantly rationalize or justify behavior, sins, attitudes, we're not better, and we're not immune from sin. And so that's why from King David, we must learn that we must guard our hearts. You've got to guard your heart, because out of it is going to come your life. Guard it with surrender, with God's word, with humility. With humility. Guard your heart. And there's only one other lesson from King David today, and we'll have more, I'm sure, down the road in this series maybe, but the second lesson is we've talked about all this bad stuff, and it's like, wow, this is rough. But there's just God's mercy and grace. And the other lesson that we're going to see how David handled this in a moment, and this is a lesson for all people and believers, is that we need to repent. I've got nothing to repent from. I hope not. I don't this morning. By the grace of God, I mean, you know what? I just know, but there's times I have to repent. It happened to me this week. I got started time in the Word, prayer time. No, everybody's like, oh, what's he going to share? No, it's okay. So it was early this week, if this was you, I apologize. And so I'm doing something, and it's early in the morning, and I pull out onto Main Street from my house, and I mean, I pull out, and this person that's driving behind me, next thing I know, they're a foot from my bumper. I mean, one of those people, right? And so I'm like, what is this person doing? This is ridiculous. And I look back, and I give the look, you know, I give the disgusted look, and then you know what I did? I slammed on my brakes. Pastor. I didn't want him to hit me, and I knew they wouldn't, but I hit my brakes well enough, and then I gave him the look back. Now, I didn't cuss. I wasn't really angry, but I'm like, this person needs to learn how to drive. So, seriously, don't tailgate. I mean, and I drive fast. It's not like I was going slow. So anyway, it wasn't like 8 o'clock in the morning, and it's funny, but you know, I had to repent. That was sinful. What if that person, what kind of testimony is that? Person probably looked in the rearview mirror and said, that's that pastor. See, those Christians are just, look at them. And it's funny, but it's not, because our testimonies are critical. Where we live, where the vast majority of people don't know Jesus. And when I got forgiven for my sins, I gave up the right to be mad about a tailgater. So I blew it. I repented. And the lesson that we learned from David is there's times we just need to repent. And so often, it's not even something we did. It's our attitude. It's our heart. It's the fact that, you know what, I think really one of the easiest things for us as Christians to do is just take God's grace for granted. If you're sitting here this morning and you're forgiven, saved, have you just forgotten that the very Son of God went to the cross for you? That he kept his mouth shut for you? That he didn't call all of heaven's angels to save himself for you? That he came down to earth for you? He forgave you? Sometimes we forget the very simple message of the gospel, which is amazing grace. Amen? It's so easy to forget because we can get like David and begin to think, I'm really a good Christian. Look at me. And that's dangerous to not stay broken and humble. So what David does, and we must learn from as well, is he didn't repent. See? I mean, we're all sinners saved by grace, and the righteous says that the Bible says the righteous man may fall, but he gets back up. And I got to be honest, there's probably some here today that you need to repent. Someone here today is probably just hiding sin. You're just living in sin. You've got something you need to turn away from. And the worst thing that can happen is that you get to continue to live in that sin. God loves you too much for that. He needs you too much for that. The best thing you can do is repent and turn from your sin. David didn't yet do that. So we haven't quite got to the second lesson yet, but we're going to get there. 2 Samuel 12, here's what happens. David still was like, what? You know? He was still kind of just living in that. Sometimes as Christians, and especially you see people who don't know the Lord, and the Bible talks about in Jeremiah, there's in Jeremiah 4 where God talks about how much it breaks his heart that his people are just blind and ignorant. They don't know him at all. Don't you see that when you go out in the world? That was a trick question because, see, yeah, look at those people. What about us? We're sinners saved by grace. We're not perfect. We need to be so, so thankful. And that's not where David was yet. 2 Samuel chapter 12. God sends Nathan to talk to David. God sent me, for some reason he chose me, praise his name, to preach to you this morning. 2 Samuel 12. David's done all this. David's not really sorry. David, here's what happens. It says, and the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said to him, and he tells him a story. He says, there were two men in one city. One was rich, one was poor. The rich man had exceedingly many flocks and herds. He had all kinds of stuff. But the poor man had nothing except one little lamb, which he bought and nourished and grew up with it. It was like a kid to him. And a traveler came to the rich man who refused to take from his own flock and from his own herd to prepare one for the wayfaring man who had come to him. But he took the poor man's lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. So here's this guy who had nothing. This rich man wouldn't do anything. He's, we'll kill his sheep. You know, that's his problem. And David was mad when he heard the story against the rich man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, the man who has done this shall surely die. And he shall restore fourfold for the lamb because he didn't have any pity. He didn't have any grace. Could this apply to us in some of our relationships and the way we look at the lost and the way we look at the world and the way we look and treat people who do us wrong? How dare we not give grace to others? Now Nathan says to David, you are the man, thus says the Lord God of Israel. I anointed you king over Israel. I delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives. I gave you everything, and if that would have been too little, I would have given you much more. So why have you despised the commandment of the Lord? When God forgives us, when we come to Jesus and He gives us eternity, He makes us co-heirs, He does all these things, why do we still ever sin? Why do we still not give grace? What is wrong with us? We need to repent of our hearts and attitudes. So Nathan tells David this story. He says, you're the sinner. You repent. And finally, David got and was convicted. And in verse 13, David says, I have sinned against the Lord. The light bulb finally goes off. I think we need to have some of our light bulbs go off about the amazing grace we've been given, about our hearts and attitudes, and unfortunately, I'm sure for some here today, about the sin you're living in. Repent and turn from it. David finally did. And listen to the beautiful words of Psalm chapter 32, when David finally repented and said, what am I doing? Why would I sin against my God? He loves me. He's given me everything. Why? Psalm 32, David writes, blessed is the man to whom the Lord doesn't impute sin and who in whose spirit there is no deceit. It doesn't say bless the perfect man. It says bless the one who's willing to repent and say, I blew it, I sinned, I'm sorry. Instead of just hiding and sitting in church and waiting to get out of here because you're convicted. It's good to be convicted. It's great. Repent and turn from your sin. Because he says, when I keep silent, my bones grew old. It's miserable to hold on to that sin through my groaning all the day long. Day and night, your hand was heavy upon me. I acknowledge my sin to you. My sin I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my sins to the Lord, and you forgave me. For this cause, everyone who is godly shall pray to you in a time when you may be found. You are my hiding place. You preserve me. You surround me with songs of deliverance. The Lord will instruct us and teach us. But we mustn't be like the horse or the mule who have no understanding. Many sorrows will be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. God knows we're still imperfect, even as his people. He just asks that we be honest and that we repent. And that's a continual process for the Christian. Not that you live in sin or willfully sin, but there's times we just need to repent. The only thing you can't do is just sit there on it. That displeases God is unhealthy. It is not good. This closes right here. It says, be glad in the Lord and rejoice, you righteous, and shout for joy, all you upright in heart. You guys with me this morning? When I say three, one, two, three, you can say amen, hallelujah, praise the Lord. You can say something. You can just shout, make a noise. I mean, are you thankful that you've been forgiven? I haven't said three yet. This is a big deal. We need to step back and say, a perfect God knows me, loves me, sent his very son. He forgives me. I am so thankful for that. And that attitude should pervade our lives and our relationships and how we treat people, how we live, how we look at our resources, how we look at our time, how we look at our jobs, how we look at our spouses and children. Are you joyful and thankful you've been forgiven? One, two, three. Hallelujah! That's pretty good. I don't want to do that. You can do better than that thing. We leave that up to the worship pastors. Dan, speaking of you, that thankfulness should be evident in our lives. But yet we can't truly have that when we don't repent. There are some times where as Christians, we come to the Lord. There are some Christians sitting here this morning who haven't asked for forgiveness probably in years. You better. Why not? You've done something. You may not be able to remember it. But we need to repent. And even more serious than that, there might be some here today, you know you're living sinfully. God doesn't want perfection from us. He just wants us to be His. He gives us the gift of amazing grace so that we will repent from our sins. There's nothing better in life than repenting. If you've never repented, if you've never accepted Jesus, you don't know what you're missing. And if you're here this morning and you're His, that amazing feeling of repenting, of saying, Lord, I'm kind of falling short here. Please forgive me. Please help me. Please change my attitude. Please help me to be more fruitful for you. Let me tell you about sin. If you guys, let me ask you something. If you get a bill in the mail and you throw it away, does it go away? No, it just gets worse, doesn't it? There's fees and there's all that stuff. When it comes to your sin, if you don't repent from it, it doesn't just go away. Jesus took care of it for you. And for that, you ought to accept that and say, yeah, I want to repent for my sins. Maybe for the first time ever, maybe for the 100th time. But I need to clear my conscience today. And Jesus is the only way to do that. 19 Psalms ahead from 32 is Psalm 51. In Psalm 51, just a couple of verses from here from David, again about his repentance. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness and according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Blot out my sin, wash me, cleanse me, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is always before me. Purge me, wash me, make me hear joy and gladness so that I can rejoice. Would you stand with me this morning and bow your heads as we prepare to pray? David's prayer, bow your heads, is a prayer of repentance. Some of the most beautiful words in the Bible about God's amazing grace. There's some here. He wants to forgive you today and you want so badly to repent and you so badly need to. We all do of something. Confess your sin, repent, and accept His amazing, indescribable grace. You're welcome to pray and do some business with God at your seat. If you come to the altar, I'll pray with you. When we humble ourselves, He lifts us up. And if you've never accepted Jesus, maybe you've been a believer your whole life. You've lived a good life. That's only by the grace of God that He allows you to do that. I don't have sin. Fall on your knees and praise His name that you don't. Because so many do, but there's grace available at the feet of Jesus. Heavenly Father, this morning we just thank You for Your amazing grace. May we be humble as Your people. May we be thankful as Your people. May we, Lord, guard our hearts and be careful. And Lord, if we've sinned, may we repent of those sins, because You forgive us and welcome. And You will not turn away a repentant heart. Godly sorrow that produces repentance leads to salvation. It leads to joy. It leads to freedom. It leads to peace in our lives. And it leads to more people coming to know You because they see that in us. We love You, Lord. Would You now do some business on our hearts? Would Your Holy Spirit move and speak to us? In Jesus' name, amen.